Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. Take about just a bit of a minute and meet everybody and greet and whatever, and then we'll start. Please. Announcements this morning. Announcements? Okay.
I'm glad to see our youth again.
Yeah. St. Louis is probably still not the same, but we're glad to have them back. Yeah. Any first time visitors? Any first time? Any or who is? You are Michael? Okay. Deletions or additions to the prayer list? Bow our heads and prepare ourselves for worship, as lights and candles. Call to worship this morning is in your bulletin. God says, "Be still and know that I am God." The Lord Almighty is with us.
Stand with me in this hymnal. I don't think it's on the screen as it says. 238. He is exalted. Let's do this twice.
He is exalted. The King is exalted on high. I will praise his name. He is exalted. exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever and exalted on high. Will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come today just to say that we love You and thank You for all the many wonderful blessings You've given us. For the sunshine and the rain, for health and strength, for shelter and clothing, for everything good comes from You. We thank You, Lord, that we have invited You here and that You are with us. Thank You, Lord, for Jesus, most of all, our Savior, went to the cross willingly and died for our sins. The most precious gift of all. Lord, thank You again for that precious thing so much. Be with us now as we continue our worship service and let us lift our hearts and minds to You in everything that we say and do, in every song that we sing, every word, every prayer, everything that we do forever. Lord, be in Your name. And now we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And you may be seated.
Set the time in our service to statement of faith. It's either on the screen or in your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, worlds without end.
Come to confess our sins. If you'll open your bulletin, follow along with me. Our call to confession is, I will confess my sins to the Lord. Our prayer confession in unison, God of the steadfast love, fools say in their heart, there is no God. How often, O Lord, are we the fools who confess You with our lips, but deny You with our heart action? How often
often do we act as we were asleep, O God, confident that you know not what we do? How often, like King David before us, do we seek to hide the fruits of our sins rather than confess our transgressions? How often do we cause others to stumble when we act hypocritically in our faith? How North Star, O God, the others have no occasion to witness our example and say, I'll be a Christian if I weren't for the Christians. When God restored the fortunes of Zion, they were like people who dreamed, people who rejoiced and were glad. As God restores our fortune, let us join them in the glad song and in their rejoicing.
If you'll turn your hymnal to 345, let's sing all three verses. Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Our sentence this morning is, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But as for you, men of God, shun all this, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. If our ushers would come forward, please.
Yeah. First scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. One day, as Jesus was standing at the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edges two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the net." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus asked Simon, "Don't be afraid," or said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shores, left everything, and followed him. The second scripture comes from John 21, verses 4 through 6. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I think everybody knows I'm not Pastor Larry Guin. I come to you this morning as moderator of the General Assembly to give you this message, and also as your friend. I don't know if this thing's working or not. I forgot to put it on. I may not stand exactly behind the pulpit as Larry does. I guess it's on. My rabbit trails sometimes turn into real rabbit trails, and I get out there with you. All right? Make sure you're awake. Just need a big stick to tap you on the shoulder if you go to sleep. I don't mind you looking at your watch. Just don't shake it to make sure it's still running. Okay? It is a great honor for not only for me, but for this church to have been elected moderator. I probably have already said that. But I will be missing in action a lot. I probably will not be here a single Sunday in September. And you can blame Larry. It was his speech that got me elected. I'm here, pretty sure that happened, along with some other people who made some phone calls. But he asked me to speak today. He's visiting grandchildren. The way he put it was, Carol said that I wouldn't be here today. So we know that that means he's not going to be here today. In our scripture lesson, and these scriptures were the focus for our General Assembly and for this year, Jesus said, go out into the deep water and let's catch some fish. Now, old Peter, we know Peter's hard-headed. We know that from all the things that we've studied, that Peter had a hard time grasping things, but once he got it, he would not let go. Peter said, we've tried and didn't catch anything, but because you say so, because Jesus said so, we'll let down the nets. Now, fishing was the main occupation around that area. The Sea of Galilee was known to, and still is, to have a great number of fish. So that was how they fed the people. That was their main industry, was catching fish. So Jesus turned this and used it to tell Peter and James and John that they need to be about the business of catching men and women and bringing them into the fold, so to speak. We need to be about the business of catching fish for God. And remember, we catch them, He cleans them. We need some new ways. I hope you'll agree with this. We need new ways to reach out. Now, this is not something that's not scriptural. We know that Jesus came Himself and did things differently than the religious people of His day. But He made the statement, I did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. So the things that we needed for life, and if you're not that familiar with the Scripture, I urge you to read Scripture every day. But if you're not that familiar with the Old Testament Scriptures, if you go back there and read them, you'll find that everything that we need to understand about Christianity is in the Old Testament. These were not new teachings. Jesus just used new methods to present them to the people. We need to do that. He met people where they were. He refocused in the marketplace, in the synagogues, on hillside, at a well, on the cross. So let's refocus. Let's don't be like so many churches that are dying. You know what the seven last words of a dying church are? We never did it that way before. A dying church is afraid to try new things. Now, what happened to... I do have a PowerPoint. Okay. Peter was tired. And he went on and worked anyway because Jesus said so. Because Jesus said, let's go. Jesus used that word go a lot. Now, Peter was undone. In the Scripture it says, Peter said, get away from me, Lord, because I'm an unclean man. We've heard that before in Scripture. Moses did not want to accept the call that God had for him. Isaiah, woe, I'm a man of unclean lips. You know, when we are confronted, when we have our come to Jesus meeting, we realize what we are and what He is. So Peter came to that point. Peter was undone. He said, I don't have anything to do with this. But Jesus said, no, I've got something for you to do. God had plans for Peter. He has plans for us. Individually, He has something for each one of us to do. A plan laid out. Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16 says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He has a job for us. He has numbered our days and He's filled our days. There's something for us to do each and every day. Let's find out what it is and do it. Casting the net is the focus for the General Assembly. Fishing for men and women. We've been asked to emphasize evangelism for this whole decade. It just didn't start in 2008. I'm relying on Kirk. We talked about this for a few minutes, but Kirk does a great job at this, and we appreciate him. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. He didn't know I was, but I am. This whole decade, the first decade of this century, the General Assembly wanted to emphasize evangelism. Well, how are we doing? Jenkins Church is not doing so good. Neither is a lot of others. We need a new plan. We need new methods. We got to get involved personally. What are you doing at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning? I know what you're doing this morning at 8 o'clock. You're standing here listening to me ramble. But what are you doing at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning? That's what's important to God. It's just as important, well, not just as important, because we're here to lift our hearts and our minds to Him today. We're here to recharge and refocus. For what? For 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. That's when we can talk to somebody else about Jesus. I'm preaching to the choir today. Most of you are regular attenders. 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. What are you doing? Where are you? What are you doing? The prayer of Jabez. We went through that study here at the church. The prayer of Jabez basically says, and I didn't write it down where it is in the scripture, but it is in the scripture, okay? Lord, bless me today. Bless me indeed. Don't we ask for that every day? Aren't we kind of selfish in our prayers? I know that we are. I'm not looking for a showing of hands or anything. But we become selfish in our prayers. But God encourages us. God wants to bless us. The prayer of Jabez says, Lord, bless me today. Bless me indeed. Really bless me today, Lord. And broaden my territories. Broaden my territories today. Give me somebody new to meet today. Somebody new to tell them about you. Broaden my territories and keep evil far from me. Don't let me be tempted to go away from your way. Plan each day with priorities to evangelize, to tell other people. Do we not have something? I'm asking this question. I'm sorry that Brother Larry wasn't here for y'all to hear one of his rip-roaring sermons. But anyway, you got to listen to me today. Excuse me. Do we not have something to tell somebody else? Do we not have something so wonderful that we need to tell somebody else about it? If you don't have it, then there's a way to get it. Because we've got the greatest thing going. We've got the greatest thing going. Now, 200 years ago, they had the great revivals. The Cumberland Presbyterian Church was born out of the great revivals. They had circuit riding preachers going to the frontiers, missionaries, if you want to say it that way. Not too many years ago, people came to church. People visited churches. And they would want you to come to their house and visit them. Not today. People won't let you in their homes today. So you got to go meet them where they are. Talk to people where you work, at the ball field, at home. Don't become impersonal, hiding in a cubicle. And have you seen some of those commercials where people are sitting at a table having dinner and they're talking to each other or texting each other on their cell phone instead of talking? You know, we're becoming button pushers. Call somebody up on your cell phone. Well, they're just right down the street. Walk down there. They'll probably do us all some good. Cast your net out into the deep water. And that is sometimes difficult. I remember the first time that I went on a Wednesday night visitation. I thought my knees were not going to let me get up on that porch. I was a nervous wreck. But each time I did it, it became easier and easier. And our church, at Tusculum Church, when I first started going there, that was a big thing. That's been 35 years ago. So we've outgrown that method. That method doesn't work anymore. In some cases it does, but not. I'm going to read you a quote now by William Barclay. And I think it's on screen too. Too often we wait because the time is not opportune. If we wait for a perfect set of circumstances, we will never begin. If we want a miracle, we must take Jesus at His word when He bids us attempt the impossible. So how do we do this? I wasn't going to leave you hanging without some methods, okay? First of all, we got to make sure we got our stuff together. You know what I mean? We got to make sure our personal relationship with Jesus is what it ought to be. Daily devotions, that's a good place to start. We have a free daily devotional book available right out there in the narthex. We get it every month, our daily bread. We get it's every quarter. But it's available to you. Get that and use it. Prayer. I like to say be constant and instant in prayer. Always be in a prayerful attitude. Keep that communication open. It's like when I was driving the truck, we had a two-way radio. You know, and sometimes I'd be sitting somewhere at a red light or something and thinking about who knows what, and that radio would come on, you know, 496, where are you? You remember car 54? How many of you remember car 54, where are you? All right, I'm dating myself. They did make a remake of that movie that was not too long ago. You know, and I jump right quick. Well, what if God talked to us like that? What if we had that open line of communication? What if we get to heaven and we see God? Wouldn't it be great if He said, thanks for keeping in touch? Oh, yeah, let's keep in touch with God. That's what impresses Him. Not what we do, fiddling around down here on earth, going fishing and stuff. Staying in touch with Him. There's some good studies out there. Also, how is your walk with God? If you're walking somewhere out somewhere and you burp, you're by yourself, there's nobody, do you say, excuse me, Lord? He is right there. He's right there. Experiencing God, evangelism, explosion, the purpose-driven life. But study is not enough. The second part is God has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. That's in more or less in James, the second chapter, verses 14 through 16. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? These are open-ended questions, by the way. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but you don't do anything about his physical needs, what good is it? We got to put feet on our faith. Go and meet people where they are. Share your faith. Now, maybe you're unable to meet people where they are. There are so many other ways to do this. Pray. Use your telephone. There are correct ways to use your telephone. use the internet. There are correct ways to use the internet. There is a lot of junk out there, but that's what people do with things. I know a preacher, and some of you may know who I'm talking about. Visitation has become a problem, so he rides the roads and stops at mailboxes and prays. He'll stop at each mailbox and pray for the house that's connected to that mailbox. There are ways to do things. Encourage those. You can be an encourager for those who have the gifts to go out and talk to people. I tell you, Brother Larry has just about built what part of the church he's built by going to the two-way. Now, who would have thought it? Charlie's laughing over there. We're down there about 3 or 4 days a week. We know that he's down there talking. Everybody knows Brother Larry. If you don't go the two-way, I got to tell you, Pete, you're the guilty party. When we were moving Brother Larry, Pete found a sign that had been on the Madison Church before Larry came here that said, Pastor Larry Gewin. That sign is now hanging at the two-way. So he is the pastor not only of this church, but the pastor of the two-way. Jesus called 12 apostles, and they weren't preachers. They were just ordinary, everyday people like you and me. And look what they did. I'm telling you, if he can do something with an old truck driver like me, he can use anybody. Third part of it. We got to pay for this. We have to pay for this building. We have to pay for electricity and water. Those things have to be paid for. So how do we pay for those things? Well, you know that we take donations. But God's work done God's way will never lack God's provision. Our church is a connectional church. We are connected to the Cumberland Presbyterian denomination. I wouldn't be standing before you today as moderator if we weren't connected, because we have meetings and meetings and meetings, and we have, once a year, we have the General Assembly, but we have people in Memphis who coordinate efforts for the whole denomination, mission-wise, Christian education-wise, communication. We have two publications. We have a magazine, and we have the Missionary Messenger. Everybody in the congregation should be getting the Missionary Messenger. Everybody should be getting that. But the Cumberland Presbyterian Magazine, you have to subscribe to that. But our United Outreach, and I'm going to pat our church on the back, we've always paid our OUO. Our OUO amounts to 10% of our regular operating budget. Just like 10% comes out of your pocket to help the church, right? We call that a tithe. All right. Now, I'm not going to go there. I just want to say this. Multiply by 10 what you give to the church. See how well you can live. That's how you measure your tithe. What you give to the church, multiply it by 10, and how well would we be able to live? If everybody gave their 10%, less than half, we have 700 churches, less than half of those churches give to the OUO. Anything. They don't give anything. If everybody gave what they were supposed to do, if everybody tithed in this church, we'd be looking for new ministries. We'd have more money than we knew what to do with. If every church in the denomination gave to their OUO the way they're supposed to, the people down there in Memphis would have more money than they knew what to do with. They'd be looking for new ministries. That's what it means to be connectional. That's what it means for us as individuals and as a church to have a part in the ministry that God has for us here on this earth. Page out of whack. My favorite scripture, for those of you who don't know already, this is one of my pet peeves. Malachi 3:10 says basically, the Lord says, Bring all the tithes and offerings into my house, that there will be meat, provisions for the house of the Lord. And try me out. This is a way for us to put God to the test. See if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you such a blessing that you won't have room to receive it. Now, we're always praying for blessings. We already talked about that in the beginning, about the prayer of Jabez. We're asking for blessings. And here God says in Malachi, that's the Old Testament, okay? I'll give you one out of the New Testament in a minute. But He says, go ahead. Test me. See what I'll do. You do your part. Watch me what I'll do. Malachi 3:10. Where is it in the New Testament? If you want to turn with me. This again, these are my two favorite scriptures. Matthew, the 6th chapter, part of the Sermon on the Mount, starting with verse 25. The heading in this Bible says, "Do not worry." It's got a little heading over that scripture. Do not worry. The main part of the scripture that is important to me is, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, too many times people say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," and they stop there. It doesn't mean as much unless you read the whole passage, starting with the 25th verse. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them." God knows what we need, people. He's not sitting up there somewhere twiddling His thumbs or playing Nintendo, or what is it now, Wii. He's not sitting up there doing those things. He knows what we need. He cares for us. So what? "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." He's going to give you all that other stuff too. Wow. "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own." Nancy and I have been tithing for over 30 years. It wasn't easy to start out with, but we did it. I retired at age 51. I have not had to work for money this century. God has indeed opened the windows of heaven and blessed Nancy and I. I'm telling you this because we can all have these blessings. They are there. We just have to do our little bitty part. God doesn't ask us to go out and move a mountain. If He asked us to, we need to do that. But all we have to do is a little bitty part. Like the 70 that went out, Jesus sent out 70 people, two by two. They were amazed that people were healed, and they drove out demons in Jesus' name. They were amazed. They were in awe. We need to be in awe of God and what He can do. All we have to do is take a little step of faith. We can still do miracles today. I'm stepping out on a limb here. Some of you are going to scoff at me maybe for this. I've been scoffed at before. That's okay. Kim Glasscock's been with me. She knows about our miracles. We were in Florida putting on a roof. I mean, the blackest cloud I've ever seen came up. It came a flood. The drywall people were coming the next day to hang the drywall. We had to get this roof on. So we took an early lunch. It was still raining. We got in a circle and we prayed. Kim and I have a friend, I talked to him this week from Kingston, Tennessee, Sam Wilson. I hope all of you can meet Sam Wilson someday. He put God on the clock. I thought, my goodness, how dare he put God on the clock? When's it going to stop raining? 3 minutes. 3 minutes it stopped raining. The sun was out in 30 minutes. We finished the roof. Don't tell me we can't do miracles today. I'll tell you even bigger miracle than that. We were working on a house. Kim's been to this house. She wasn't on this trip. We were working on this house, and we were gutting it out, taking all the drywall out. We were working on the roof, taking the drywall out, and stacking it on the curb. The code's enforcer came by. This is a guy with handcuffs hanging on his belt. This is not a code's man. This is the enforcer. Said, you got to move that stuff off the curb. You got too much trash out on the curb. You're only allowed 500 pounds. Well, we probably had 5,000 pounds. I don't know. There was a baby grand piano in there, and I don't know what all. Got to move that stuff. He wouldn't even come on the property. He called the homeowner out to the curb. She came back in tears. Got everybody off the roof, got in the house, and prayed. Lord, we don't know what to do. We want to work on this house for this lady. She was at her road's end. She told us that she was about ready to tie a concrete block around her leg and throw herself in the swimming pool. Insurance denied her claims. Their house is destroyed. She's lost her job because the business that she worked for was destroyed by the hurricane. And that's how depressed she was. I went out there with another friend. We looked at her house. I told her, we'll be there tomorrow to help you. Yeah, right. She'd evidently been told that before. So we showed up in 3.5 days. We gutted her house, put a new roof on it, and rewired it. 3.5 days. We got in the living room and we prayed. Said, okay, let's go back to work. So in about 30 minutes, another guy shows up. He's the boss of the guy with the handcuffs. He comes up on the property. He wants to know who we are. He wants her to tell him about her situation. She tells him. He says, I will take care of this problem. Do not worry about the trash on the curb. I'll get it taken care of. And don't worry, the guy with the handcuffs is not coming back. So don't tell me that we can't do miracles today. How am I doing? I see the musicians have come back in. Yeah. Okay. Somebody set this clock up here on the pulpit fast. I wonder why they did that. I'm almost done. What about our church? What do we do? What do we actually do? We do a lot of things. I'll tell you what, we do it quietly. Kirk. Probably not very many people knew that Kirk does the PowerPoint every week. The pushing of the button. I've seen Larry try to do it. He forgets. I would have too. That's why I used to have his laptop up here so he could see what was going on. We got a thank you note not long ago in the office from the National Rescue Mission. Thank you for your help. What help? It took us about 2 weeks to track down which Sunday school class was helping at the National Rescue Mission because they did it quietly. That's great. But maybe we need to brag a little bit more. Maybe we need to get our name out there a little bit more in the neighborhood and in the community that we're doing good stuff here. We're doing a lot of work. There's good things going on. We got a good youth group here at the church. We got Sunday school classes for just about everybody. I'm going to start another one here before long, I think. We got good stuff going on here. People need to know about it. We got good people that like to work. Time's about up. The questions in the Matthew scripture talking about food and clothing and cars and houses and bank accounts and recognition, but he says, I'll give you these things too. Seek him first. He loves us so much. He wants to give us everything. He wants to give us, He loves us that much. We need to love Him back. When we reach that point in our lives that we are in awe of what God has done, as Peter did when he said, "I'm undone. I'm just this little grain of sand down here. Look what Jesus can do. He can fill the nets with fish. Cast the net on the right side," he said in the John scripture. Well, we've been fit. What good is it going to do? The boat's not very, probably not as wide as this room. You know, what difference is it going to make if we fish right here or if we fish over there? But because Jesus said to do it that way, they did it, and lo and behold, more fish than they could haul. It was breaking the nets. I have a little prayer for us to pray together today. This is not a prayer for today, but a prayer for every day. What shall I do today, Lord? Where am I needed, dear Father, today? What loving words shall I say today? What kind deeds would you have me do? What lives will I touch today? Show me your will. Teach me your way. What is your plan, Lord, for my life today? I forgot what the last hymn is. Verses 1 and 3. Please stand.
Place today, Lord, we ask that you would go with us, guide our paths and our steps. Present your will before us that we might know what you'd have us to do today and tomorrow and Wednesday. And thank you most of all again that you sent Jesus. We would not be here today if we didn't have Jesus in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Amen. Shalom. We'll be gone next week.
You'll be gone next week.
We'll be gone next week. Yeah. God speak with me about the color track. Yeah. No, not me. Somebody else is teaching. No. Not today. I think you got somebody else.
Testing 1 2 test. Testing 1 2 test. 1 1.
Julie Lux will come.
See, yeah, this is the weirdest thing to Melanie. How can you think?
1 2.
Like, okay. Yeah. This is so weird. Like, can you hear me?
He's exalted, the King is exalted on high. I'll pray hasty.
I don't know if it's convenient to play.
Blessed assurance.
If I need to.